To the Batmobile.
Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Holy smokes, Batman. It's Gaggle of Geeks on 2SER.
Oh my god, it's been too long since we've heard those geese honking. Tali.
Sophie, there was a pause before the geese started and I was like, oh my god, are the geese not coming back? And then that reassuring sound of geese. I was like, the geese are back. The geese have come home.
We are home. It only took us 3 months to get our act together this year. Hello, welcome back to Gaggle of Geeks, the podcast. I'm Sophie Lai.
I'm Tali Olatia.
And this is the podcast where we chat everything geek and pop culture that's been happening in the world on 2SER. Oh boy, we've missed a lot this past 3 months, haven't we, Tali?
We really have. And I think what was funny too is like the logistics of moving to Melbourne and setting everything else up. And I was like, I know I work in radio, but it just took me a really long time because I was like, I need to get a fridge first. But it was just constantly, you would see stuff happening and we were still like tagging each other and stuff and then like still sending each other links.
Oh, totally.
It was like, if we did do an episode this week, this is what we would have been talking about. We were still there for it.
We totally were. And it's like, you know, Blake is still with us too. Unfortunately, he couldn't make it today because he also went through some changes. He bought a house and he's also moving. So
he's such a grown up.
Doing grown-up things, and yeah, I got a new job and had to settle to that, so I was like, oh, we had a lot of things happening, but we are back.
We're just like trying to be adults, okay guys, and it just takes us a little longer to get all our ducks in a row, or our geese in a row.
Well, we're getting there, and we are back with a vengeance, Die Hard style. We can do it.
That's very true. That is very, very true. But what a week to come back on. It's like we planned this perfectly because maybe we did. But Beyonce, Netflix, documentary, Coachella.
Oh, let me play this trailer.
What I really want to do is be a representative of my race, of the human race. I have a chance to show how kind we can be, how intelligent and generous we can be. I have a chance to teach and to love and to laugh. And I know that when I finish doing what I'm sent here to do, I will be called home. And I will go home without any fear, trepidation some, wondering what's gonna happen.
What advice would you have to give this generation?
Tell the truth to yourself first and to their children.
Like, I'm here for this. Yes.
You have Maya Angelou voiceover.
Oh my god. It's just the moment that I heard like Maya Angelou's voice, because Netflix were like little crafty bastards. They sent out this tweet over the weekend and it was just this yellow tile that said homecoming and then like April 17 Netflix. And that's all it was. But because the Beehive is geniuses and clever, they did all the like connecting of the dots and they were like, wait a second, that yellow is like the Beyonce yellow, that font is the same font that Beyonce used, and Beyonce's Coachella line was called homecoming. This is the Beyonce documentary we've all been waiting for. And then of course it all did come to truth, because like I remember last year watching the Beyonce Coachella.
Oh my god, that was like
iconic.
I swear, last year was like the year of the Knowles sisters, because you had Solange come out with
yeah.
a seat at the table, and then her amazing tour. And then you got Beyonce Coachella, and you're like, holy shither. Like,
exactly. And it was so huge because, like, when Beyonce did Coachella, she was the first black woman to headline that concert and, like, tore the roof down. Not to mention, so this is in 2018. She was supposed to headline Coachella in 2017, but, of course, she was pregnant with the twins.
Mm-hmm.
She hasn't released an album since 2016 with Lemonade. So, like, I think that that's what built into, like, the buzz of this new documentary is because as fans, we have been starved of Beyonce content. Like, I know that she, you know, is being a mother and doing all these other things as well. But it
She did that album with Jay-Z as well.
Yeah, well, like, no, that doesn't count. I just want, like, pure Beyonce. I just want it to be all about Beyonce. So everything that isn't just all about Beyonce does not exist in my head. So it is, like, super, super exciting. And there was also this rumor going around that as well as the documentary, she's going to release, like, a greatest hits album and two new songs, which I don't know if it's true or not, but God, I hope it is. Ooh. Like, I will be there for it.
That's maybe so baity. People
building on the hype of what their wishes were. Like, a documentary wasn't enough. We also needed some form of, like, audio stimulation. But look, there's a chance that next week everyone's dreams will just completely and utterly come true.
Oh, I mean, like, more black excellence coming through. Just
oh my goodness. Yeah, and it's just, like, one of those things is that even in the little trailer, I was like, oh yeah, because Solange performed at Coachella with Beyonce. And I was like, oh yeah, there was the Destiny's Child reunion. And it's all those behind the scene things that you just went into that just very iconic performance that you just go, no one else will ever be able to be as amazing. And what was interesting too is that news this week that Solange has actually pulled out of this year's Coachella because they couldn't get, like, set bits or some kind of something. So yeah, it's all about the Knowles sisters, it's about Coachella, it's about excitement. No doubt it will be about us next week.
Just
know how great it was.
I'm very curious as to what they couldn't accommodate, considering Beyonce's set was quite elaborate.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, like, having seen Solange last year at the Opera House perform A Seat at the Table, hers is very, like, visionary. So maybe it's just, like, a concept that they couldn't pull off. Which, rather than being, like, a technical, like, oh, we're going to put up some, you know, some stands and some marching bands kind of thing. But maybe hers was more of a, I don't know. Oh, but then having said that, they did once have that, remember that, what was it, that holographic Tupac perform.
Oh, so yeah.
I'm sure if they can do that, they can do anything that Solange has dreamed of. So I
surely. Because, like, even when her tour last year, it was quite similar in layout to Beyonce's Coachella set in a way. Like, the way people were situated and dancing, it was very similar. So
who knows what they're up to. But then the other Beyonce news, oh my god, there's so, just so much Beyonce news, so is big. Lion King trailer.
Here we go.
Life's not fair, is it, my little friend? While some are born to feast, others spend their lives in the dark. Begging for scraps. Everything you see exists together in a delicate balance. While others search for what they can take, a true king searches for what he can give. Run away, Simba, and never return. You must take your place in the circle of life.
Wee! More Beyonce, but we couldn't hear her there.
She was there. She'll be there. It was so funny. Like, Scar scared me. Like, when they showed the little version of him, it was just, I was just like, oh my god, like when he sings Be Prepared, because I'm assuming they're just going to play, like, that's what struck me with this trailer, is that, like, apart from that little bit at the end where they were doing The Lion Sleeps Tonight, there wasn't any of the iconic Lion King songs.
No.
So there was a moment that I was just like, this is surely still going to incorporate song. This will still have music in it, which then makes me think, like, the music must be amazing or, like, really remix cool. I mean, because they've got the options to do it. You've got Donald Glover, who's going to be Simba, and so he's obviously, as people know, Childish Gambino, so we know he can sing. We know he can
sing like an angel.
Yeah, obviously Beyonce. We know that she can do all those things. So, like, I would be surprised if they didn't have music. I'm sure that they will, but I would have liked to have heard a little bit of the music. But, you know, look, it's not going to stop me from, come July, being in a movie cinema watching it, because I'm there for it.
Yeah.
And James Earl Jones's voice, the moment that it started, the moment he starts talking, you're like, yes, give me your wisdom. Give me your wisdom.
Right. The thing, though, the guy plays Scar, Chiwetel Ejiofor. I think he sounds too friendly.
He looked to me really scary.
He looks scary, but the sound, I'm like, oh, because, you know, in the cartoon version, Scar had this, like, kind of rumble in his voice and a bit, a little drawl that was just like, oh, like, there's something off about you. But, like, Chueta, when he speaks, it's like, it's quite strong. Like, it sounds, it's very old, you know, James Earl in a way. So you're just like, oh, you're Scar. Oh, wait, listen to the dialogue, because he sounded a bit too grand, in my opinion, than the kind of creepy underscore that you kind of get from Scar.
But maybe that's the duality of his character, that he's both endearing and friendly, how he got his, like, hyena army around him, and then he will become more menacing.
Yeah.
Look, I don't know. Maybe. Who knows?
This is the first proper trailer compared to the teaser, which was The Circle of Life.
Yeah,
by itself, which means, of course, there'll be song if that was the teaser.
Yes, yeah. It's like, will they have more releases before the movie?
Oh, surely, right?
Yeah, I was like, maybe they will have a song. I'm just waiting for some kind of remix of the I Can't Wait to Be King, or, like, Be Prepared being the most menacing song in the history of anything.
Oh.
I Can Feel the Love Tonight, and then it's just,
well,
I don't know.
It's releasing in July, so there'll definitely be probably another few more spots between now and then.
But it's April, May, June. They've only got 2.5 months.
Yeah, that's enough to release at least 4 trailers, surely.
Well, I don't know. At the same time, I'm here for it if they do, but I also don't want to get my hopes up too much. Manage those expectations.
Oh, well, we have to, don't we? We have to.
Exactly. But I am very excited for it. It looks like it's going to be fun. It's one of those weird things to do a trailer for a movie you already know what it's about. Mm. So even as you were watching it, there were moments where it's just like, I'm pretty sure that that's, like, when Simba overrules everything and, like, has defeated Scar. Like, you can kind of tell those iconic moments in the original cartoon movie. So it's funny watching a trailer where you know everything that's going to happen, but at the same time be like, yeah, I will still be watching this. This is great.
Yeah, it's going to be great. But, Tali.
Yes.
While Sophie, we were in a little hiatus, you know what else came out?
What?
The Aladdin trailer.
Oh, my God. Yes, it did. Yes, it did. And we got to see, I'm sorry, Will Smith as the genie. I'm not there for that.
Not your thing? Not your thing?
There were funny memes going around, like the Arrested Development. Like, I just blew myself, and that's what it looked like. It's like Will Smith blewed himself.
I mean, that's one way of putting it. shall I play the trailer?
Yes, please.
They're over there! Get them! Stop! Please! stumbled upon an opportunity, I can make you rich. Rich enough to impress a princess.
What would I have to do?
There's a cave of wonders. Bring me the lamp.
Oh, great one who summons me, I stand by my oath, loyalty to Wishes 3.
I'm kidding. Watch this.
Watch out! You done wound me up? You ain't never had a friend like me.
Hey, can you make me a prince?
There is a lot of gray area in make me a prince. I could just make you a prince.
Oh, no.
Y'all see my palace?
You look like a prince on the outside. But I didn't change anything on the inside. Showtime.
No, I'm in charge, okay? I say when it's time. Really? I thought a princess could go anywhere.
Not this princess.
Do you trust me?
Don't you dare close your eyes. Hold your breath, it gets better.
It's just, do you know the funny part of it is it's always a whole new world. That line was, don't you dare close your eyes. It's always stuck in my head. So I know the moment that I heard it, I was like, oh yeah, that's going to happen. And it's kind of funny because it's a lyric that out of context just seems really aggressive. Like, don't you close your eyes.
Really does. But, you know, they took the different approach of actually showcasing some of the songs that will be in the film.
Which is the difference. And Aladdin comes out like what? May?
End of May. 24th of May. So it gives them a little time in between. I mean, visually it looks beautiful, but, you know, it's hard. Like, Will Smith has very big shoes to fill with Robin Williams, who played it in the animated version. But, you know, we'll see.
I think that's why I was largely judgment central when I saw him, because, like, again, in the same way of The Lion King, is like, you know what the story is, but you know what the story is with the characters that you've known for like your whole life. Mm. And so I think that was what, like, seeing Will Smith for the first time, I was like, you don't look like the cartoon animated genie that Robin Williams played. You look like a blue Will Smith. And I think that, like, had I not ever seen Aladdin and I just seen this, I would have been like, yeah, cool, you're the genie and Will Smith is playing you, that's cool, like, whatever. Mm. But, yeah, also I feel that watching the movie, it feels like, even from the trailer, that you will quickly get submerged into that world. So I feel like after a while he won't be blue Will Smith, he will be, no, this is the genie. But look, it's going to be interesting to see how he pulls it off.
The other really funny thing, when, like, you know, when they started their promo, and Entertainment Tonight always do like these big spreads, and they did one of Jafar. And everyone started thirsting after this guy. It was just like, who is hot Jafar? Like, Jafar isn't supposed to be hot. What are we doing?
Like, we are a very simple people. And, like, every time something like that happens, I've just thought of that. Remember the hot criminal mugshot? Like, look at this sexy guy in his mugshot. And then he's dating some kind of, like, heiress to, what, it's like,
a Topshop heiress.
Yes, and I was going to say soap, but I was like, it's not that. And so now, like, modeling career, all these things happened because we as people are basic AF. And like, he's hot. We are horny for him.
Oh, but everyone's like, hello. Who is his? Why is Jafar? Here's a tweet. Jafar, fine as hell, though, so I'll be rooting for evil.
Exactly. And then it's just like, Jasmine, no. Like, because the whole thing of Aladdin is, like, Jasmine's going to get married off to Jafar. Yeah. And you're like, no, I'm totally all right with that. Aladdin, get out of the way of what could possibly be the greatest love story ever.
Oh, like, we are too basic for this.
We really are. But it was funny that, like just you remembering that the Aladdin trailer came out, because, yeah, we have been away for so long that there have been things that we just haven't spoken about, or, like, stuff that is just wild. Like, I know for me, one of the movies that I've become obsessed with, and it's one of those, because I have this tendency to binge a lot of TV shows, is that I would just watch like a huge long thing of it that I'm not actually taking in any storyline. It's just like I'm a sponge. It just soaks into the next one, into the next one, into the next one, and I'm not actually giving it any critical thought. But I went and saw Jordan Peele's Us, and oh my God, I cannot stop thinking about it. And this is wild, but it's just, I saw it a couple of weeks ago and I'm still thinking about it.
Wow.
Because it's just so incredible. And not that it's a follow-up to his first movie, Get Out, but it's in the same sense that, you know, humans are the monsters, like, because it is a horror film. And his ability to just kind of make us think about the duality of man and good versus evil and everything that's happening, and then his hidden messages that are underneath it as well, and this, like, personalities and, like, identity and how we construct identity and whether it is, like, a privilege, the life you get to lead, is that because of the circumstances you're in? Because the whole thing about Us is the idea that there are people up, like, on top of above ground who are the, like, one version, and their doppelgangers live underground and they are tethered to the person above the ground. And then it's this uprising of these tethered people. And it's just a really, like, obviously it's the gore and it's everything, but it's just so beautifully thought out. It's so, like, you think about it afterwards, and, like, Lupita Nyong'o, she plays the central character of Adelaide, who is with her black family. And that was another great thing, is, like, there is a black family that is central to this, but it's not about race in the same way that Get Out was.
Yeah.
It's just like, yes, this is a black family who is a central part, but, you know, their race really has nothing to do with it. But it's just really interesting, the decisions that were made with her, is that her above-ground version is all in white. And then progressively, as the movie goes on and she's having to fight off these tethered, is she becomes a lot more bloodied. So then she starts to become more red, yet her, like, doppelganger, like, tethered person is known as Red and wears a red jumpsuit. And you just see, it's just, oh man, it's so great. It's so amazing. And I just keep thinking about it, and it's just like the misdirecting of audiences. It's just like these identities, the fractured identities, but then, like, social exploration in America. One of the, like, the fun takes that I saw was that even the movie title is called Us, but people are like, who is the us? Is it an us versus them kind of thing? Or is us to mean America, because this is in America? Does us actually stand for United States? And then the person who took it even further was like, maybe Jordan Peele is trying to send us a message to be like, get out of the US.
Like, what? I mean, but, not wrong.
Oh my goodness. It was truly just... Yeah, I just keep thinking about it. And I was like, that's the power that Jordan Peele has with his movies, which he also did in Get Out too. It's horror done in a way that we as humans, because we do tend to be a bit more selfish, like, that you go, oh my God, that could happen to me. Like, it's close enough in this universe, even though it's kind of crazy, but you're like, maybe that could happen. Like, it's not in the same way that there's like a maniacal Freddy Krueger like character where you just go, oh no, that's all right, because it's like one bad egg. He's the kind of like, no, like,
they're next to, like, you.
There could be a whole lot of us who are bad, because that's what being human is just, you know, doing that. It's, oh man, have you seen it? Because go watch it, it's just amazing.
I didn't, because I wasn't mentally prepared to, so I saw Shazam instead.
That is bad. What was Shazam like?
So Shazam, it's part of the DC universe. It's follows a new superhero. It was joyous. It was really fun. Like, you kind of see in the DC, like, universe, like, it's really dark, like Justice League, and they really try to take themselves seriously all the time. And everything is just so dark, dark, dark. And even, like, Aquaman. It had its whole like arc. Like, in a way, he was goofy at times, but predominantly he was very serious. And Wonder Woman.
Crime is serious, Sophie. Crime is serious.
Oh, so serious. And even like Wonder Woman. It's very, very serious. So it was just nice that you could actually laugh and breathe a bit in this. So it follows a teenage kid named Billy Batson, who's played by Asher Angel. And he's a foster kid and he's trying to find his birth mother and running away from foster homes continuously. He gets put with a new home. There's heaps of foster kids there. He's trying to, like, you know, be by himself, except he gets whisked away by a wizard who wants to give him his powers because he's dying and great evil has been unleashed. So in a sense, it's like, oh my God, this is really like a superhero comic book story, like, yeah, to the extreme. So when he yells out the name of the wizard, which is Shazam, he turns into a superhero. So this kid then turns into a very, very buff version of Zachary Levi, oh my God, who you might know from Chuck. And it's like, it is a bit of big, but with superhero aspects. But like, at the soul of the movie, it really is about family. And it's just, it was a great family movie and I'm so for it. It was really, really sweet. You had the main villain is played by Mark Strong, who plays Dr. Savannah. And he's typecast as hell now. I swear he is. But God, he plays it so well.
So he's going to continue being typecast.
Oh, he totally is. And he's just like, I'll just be get my voice so deep and just be really, really angry. And I'm like, yeah. Although I do miss like when he does his gangster movies and he's really British and you don't expect it.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's so like, I think that's what you need. And I think that's what the difference of some movies is that just like the ones that stick with you or that you enjoy, it's like, oh yeah, I guess I needed that a little bit in my life. Like I needed, like for us, I was like, I needed that reality check. I needed to actually not just mindlessly consume entertainment and media, but to actually engage with it again in the same way that you've like haven't seen us because you're like, I need to get into the right mental frame to do it. Mm. And then to watch like a joyous movie, you're like, yes, that is actually a good thing. Like, you don't have to be so serious all the time. It's like, you need that light and shade. You need those things to like kind of pop out and reach out to you kind of thing.
Yeah. And I feel lately, like with all the superhero offerings we've had, like even with the Marvel ones, like Avengers, it's been pretty dark. Captain Marvel. Oh my God, that came out. How can we forget? We'll talk about that in a sec. But like, you know, it was that kind of light. And this cast wise, like you have these bunch of foster kids all from like different backgrounds. There's a Latino kid. There's a kid living with disability. There's one of the girls is black and she is so gorgeous and beautiful. And oh my God, she's adorable. I love her. That was Faith Herman playing Darla Dudley, who's just like this really, she just wants all her foster siblings to be actual brothers and sisters. And she's just trying to hug them all the time. And he's like,
that is adorable. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And then you also have an Asian kid thrown in there. And it's like, oh my God, this is like a mishmash of like kids that you would find.
And I think that's one of the good things too now is like just how inclusive, like, casts are becoming and just how simple it is to do it. So it's like, why weren't you doing this before, you idiots?
It's like, it's so simple to do when it does and when it's done really well. And you know, the CGI wasn't top notch, but hey, I had fun watching it. So
so good.
But it was so much fun. But oh my God, I can't believe we nearly forgot about Captain Marvel. Brie Larson. It's been her year, hasn't it?
Oh, it really has. But, like, she's had to earn it. Mm. This is the thing about social media and, like, just how terrible people can be is just, like, I love the people who reviewed Captain Marvel and you could tell the real issue that they had was that, again, it's a female at the center of this movie. Mm-hmm. And then obviously rather than, like, dealing with their own problems, they just projected that hate onto Brie Larson. So, like, it was just like, well, everything you did was terrible. And it's, like, it's really hard in those pockets or those corners to see that and just be like, no, she did a really great job. Like, back off. You guys are freaking idiots.
And I think she has a movie out on Netflix as well and people were like, why would you even let her, like, do this? She's only an actor. She shouldn't direct. And then, like, Netflix clapped back with a list of all her credentials, all the, her accolades, like, stuff she has directed in the past as well. And it was just like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mic drop right there.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, she's been working since she was a child.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Is people just assume that just because, like, and I think that that's what's so sucky is that they get so much more critical of a woman doing a role, regardless of whether she's new, whether she is experienced, but like, will accept any male in any role just for whatever. It's like, oh, yes, what's that? You have a penis? Yes, you are totally qualified for this job. Where it's like, every female, it just feels like sometimes it's like, prove it. Like, do this, like, jump through all these hoops first and then maybe we'll accept you. It's wild.
Well, the other thing was because she, for them, they were like also like, oh, she didn't really have a hero's arc. She didn't, like, you know, go through trauma to, like, rise up or anything. But it was like, well, that was the point.
Exactly.
Her challenge.
Yeah.
She's always had those heroic aspects. She never got blessed with power. Like, yeah. She always had this kind of heroic stuff. Her main challenges was trying to stop people who were trying to limit her, which is like every day a woman's like experience, like people limiting what we can and can't do. And it was just like, if you can't see that, this is literally just in the form of like Drew Law.
Yeah. Well, and this is the thing too. It's like they had to find something to complain about. Mm. So complain about like a total, I can't. It's too much. It's just like stupid. It's just like, it just seems like we're looking for something to complain about. And look, we found something. And this is not a criticism that had it been a man doing this exact role that we would have said the same thing. Like they would say, oh, if it was a man, I'd say the same thing. And it was like, no, you wouldn't.
You wouldn't.
Like, to be honest, you wouldn't. Like, sort your life out.
And the funniest thing is like, this movie was probably the most pro-military out of all of the films that were released so far.
It's like, you can't do everything all the time. Like, seriously, just, Anyway, what a world. What a world we live in.
Such a world. Whew. Anywho, our world's going to get so much crazier, though, next week, Tali, because freaking Game of Thrones. Oh, I'll let you sing. I'll take that back.
I don't know what I thought that would just achieve in my head, but I thought, I will sing the undertone of the theme tune and then you will talk over it. It did not happen like that. All it was you were talking and then me go,
well, that returns on Monday.
It does, for the 8th and final season. Oh, my sweet baby Jesus. There are so many things that, like, I want answers for. So it'll be really, really great to, like, kind of
get those answers. I don't know if it'll all be wrapped up nicely, though. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, no, I don't think it is either. And I saw this, like, post that this article that had come through that, I don't know, like, maybe there is truth, maybe there isn't. Mm. But it was, like, George R. R. Martin, who was the author of the original, like, book series, who was like, I don't want the TV series to end. And I was like, does that mean it's going to stay on forever? Like there's a difference between, like, I don't want it to end, or you've actually maybe got the power not to make it end. Like, what's going to happen? Like, literally tell me what is going to happen. I can't. It's too much. It's just too much. But it will be exciting to see how they will wrap up the series, the TV series. Because there is so much. When we left, it was like they were pretty much breaking through the wall, and the White Walkers and the Night. I always call him the Night King, the Night Prince.
He is the Night King.
Yeah, I just don't know why. I start with the Night King and then I'm like, no, that's not his name. I've made that up. I always feel like I need to put white, but then they're the White Walkers. Anyway, this is why I need it back into my life. It's like you forget all the things that happen. Much. And then, like, I've been reading a whole lot of recaps, like, this is what you need to know, like, ahead of the first episode. And I was like, oh, yeah, that did happen. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, my goodness, yeah. What is going to happen? Like, Daenerys and Jon Snow, like, they just got it on in their boat. They're going to realize that, like, technically that, like, he's her uncle and then, yeah.
But, well, technically she's his aunt, but...
They're related. The point of the story is that they're related.
But the thing is, will they, though? Because no one knows. Because all their, like, the person in his family that knew is dead, and all of her living relatives are dead. So it's like, who knows?
No, remember his friend from the Night Watch, Sam?
Yeah.
When he was doing his little duties they figured out that they had got married and that there was a marriage had been annulled. So I think it's so terrible.
But they don't know if it's John. That's the thing.
I feel like they do. Okay, I feel like I need to go back and watch that because I think, well, maybe it was because as the viewer, you've got the you've got the knowledge where they don't.
Yeah.
Whereas I was like, they've figured it all out. Oh, maybe they didn't.
I don't know. I could be remembering this wrong because there's been so much speculation since that damn finale. Yeah. But
I just did it as they know the answer and then they're going to figure it all out and then it's all going to come to a head. But then maybe they don't. Oh, that's a weird situation to be in. It's like, would you want to know if this had happened? Mm. Anyway, strange.
Well, perhaps I'm remembering wrong as well because it has been a while.
There is a good chance it's me.
And then it's like, yes, we are so geeky. We know our things so well. No, we don't. Yeah, we apologize, listeners.
There are a lot of names in Game of Thrones too. I feel like that's the other thing. It's like I should actually properly watch back at least the last few episodes of season 7 just to be like, yep, these are the characters. This is what's going on. This is what's happening. I'm ready for it. Did you see during the week that the Red Cross, they crunched the numbers as a part of their awareness for international humanitarian law, is they watched the Game of Thrones series to find out who the big war criminals are and the infractions of crimes that would be constituted war crimes.
Jeez, was it Bolton? Was it the Ramsay family?
No, the thing is, so they were doing it as judged by how many deaths were caused. And so the question became is a dragon, can you count what the dragons were doing? Because when they went through their big, I'm just going to set fire to everything on Daenerys's call, is that there were civilians who died as a part of some of those things. So, I mean, technically, if we're going to include the dragons because they were operating on a human call, then maybe it's Daenerys and the dragons in terms of death that they inflicted.
She did kill a lot of people when she was in Marine, freeing all the slaves. And she has a Dothraki horde at her feet as well.
Yeah. So that
and
was
they're the very warlike.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just technically, if you're doing it on quantity, then yeah. But it was an interesting experiment and obviously a good kind of PR campaign for them to talk about, educate people on international humanitarian law on the week before Game of Thrones hits. But
please don't do this.
Exactly. It was interesting.
I think it was Entertainment Weekly. They had a set visit to the Game of Thrones set.
Yeah.
And it just sounded so traumatic.
Oh my God.
They were the actors just look so defeated. And it's just how intense is this season going to be? I need hugs afterwards? What is going on here? Because it was just apparently he was to the guy who plays Sam Tartley, that you looked really cool in that scene. And the director's like, did you hear that? You look too cool. Play it down. Redo that whole fight scene where you look a bit more scared. And it's just oh God.
That is so, it must be so intense. And because that was the other story that came out that was Game of Thrones related was Emilia Clarke revealing that she'd survived two brain aneurysms.
Crazy.
One of them being pretty early on where she was concerned that she would essentially either one, not recover, be able to talk, and two, be able to remember her lines. And obviously as an actress and who pins her acting as a part of her identity, being oh my God, how do I go on? And then talking about I think she was coming into the second season and being on set delivering her lines going, am I going to die? Because it was such a random, the first aneurysm was so random. And you're just what the actual hell? That is wild and
insane. And she was throughout season 2, I was pretty lost. I had no idea what I was doing because I was so worried about this brain aneurysm. It's you couldn't tell on screen.
That's
the
thing.
You delivered those lines. She's I didn't feel I delivered those lines. You delivered those scenes.
It's truly the power of acting is none of us would have been none the wiser. Mm-mm. And then she was even saying with her second brain aneurysm is that part of her brain died.
Oh my God.
like, because that's the reality of when it's starved of oxygen for as long as it is that that's what happens. And you're just like, oh my God, this is also happening to you while you're on one of the biggest shows, like, of right now.
Yeah.
It's just, like, the pressure is just too much. It would have been absolutely crazy. Poor thing.
And it just also makes her, like, even more of a queen in everyone's eyes because
exactly, exactly. We're all like, we will take the knee. Like, you just, like, you say it and we will all be there. The really? Other funny Game of Thrones related thing is on April Fool's Day, did you see, like, Jimmy Fallon interviewing Maisie Williams? And the setup of obviously they're in an interview and being like, oh, Game of Thrones comes out and really excited. And then she says, like,
A spoiler.
So in the second episode where she dies. And then she goes, oh my God. Oh my, like, because obviously, like, they are so tight lipped, like, no spoilers can happen. And so you obviously watched that little thing that they released and being like, oh my God. And, like, the funny thing is that, like, when you see a video like this in your social media feed, you don't really pay attention to the date.
No.
Like, you just go,
because you never know what, because the algorithm, the way it works, it's like, exactly. Your friends have seen this maybe a week ago, you might find this funny.
Yeah, and exactly. So there are moments where you're like, oh, it's April Fool's, so I'm just going to be, like, super aware for a bit. And then you just go, no, whatever. Like, yeah, as you were saying, the algorithm's there. Like, this video is actually 2 weeks ago or it was a couple months old or someone shared a video from, like, 3 years ago. So you just click it and play it. And then there was just this moment where it's like, oh, no. And then it's like, oh, April Fool's. And you're just like, oh, my goodness. That was, like, a really good way to get people, because if Arya dies, I will not cope. Like, will not cope at all.
Oh, God. It's going to be a hell of a journey.
Oh, my goodness. It really is. And, yeah, what is it? We'll be on air in Australia on Monday morning.
Ooh, do you reckon anyone's coming into work on Monday morning?
No way in hell. They will be like, yep, every Monday from here for the next, what, 13 weeks? Is it 13?
Should I
make 13 up?
No, it sounds about right.
Yeah, 13 feels right. Yeah, every Monday. It's like long weekends for the next 13 weeks so everyone can absorb Game of Thrones.
Do you want to go to work traumatized, though?
Oh, my goodness. It'll be too much. It'll be too much. The trauma.
Oh, like...
oh, it's wild. Yeah, but, yeah, no doubt, again, this time next week, it'll be the Beyonce documentary. It'll be the first episode of Game of Thrones. Some may say that we took a really long hiatus, and I were like, no, we were just waiting, like, putting our geese in a line for what will be, like, the most dramatic everything happening.
Speaking of dramatic exits, though, if you don't watch Get Cracking, please watch it now on ABC iView. So if you love the catering show with the two Kates, Kate McLennan and Kate McCartney, they have a TV show called Get Cracking where they take on the world of breakfast television. Oh, and boy.
They take it on. It's so funny. It's like they're so clever in the way that they are able to deconstruct breakfast TV and what happens on breakfast TV to be like, yep, this is exactly what is going on right now. Like, this is what's so genius about it, is that they had the episode where a guy comes in because they were like, yes, our voices, like, the network thinks our voices, two females, are too shrill, so here we go, let's bring a man in. And then he, like, effectively mansplains. And in doing that, they create all that, the conversation that goes around, like, female hosts on these breakfast TV shows, which is really funny.
They had a disability episode, which was co-written by a woman who has a disability. All the extras were people living with disabilities, and it was just like, oh, this cuts. Like, everyone was just like, we are so ableist. This is awful.
I love the idea that they had it where we were like, look at us. It's a disability day, so we're going to really highlight disability. Yay. Mm-hmm. Like, look how, like, access, and this is really great. And then, like, the first guest is in a wheelchair but can't actually get onto Couch Island because, like, they didn't bring a ramp. So it's, like, those very simple things. And I also enjoyed, like, during that episode – that they set it up. It's like every Wednesday we talk to someone really, really inspiring. And on this like disability day, we're going to bring in someone who's really, really inspiring. You're a hero. And it's obviously this woman who's just been brought in just because she has a disability. So it's like, yep, I haven't done anything remarkable.
No, she's just going, like,
but you're such a hero. Tell us about your life because you're a hero. And she's like,
I like hump day memes, like
yeah, exactly.
Walk
exactly.
From the beach.
It was totally that. It was really funny. It was just, they were really, really clever with it. The whole, like, everything that they did was really, like, they obviously picked things that breakfast TV shows do where they have those themed days, like, as the disability or like the environment, and these are the things, because like now for this one day we're actually going to care about this thing, and then, you know, the next episode we're going to completely ignore it. Even the running pregnancy, and the idea is like, as a female host, your pregnancy, you have to share it with everyone and you have to do everything through it, and you have to still be a presentable like woman on camera while being pregnant, while also willingly share every part of your pregnancy and, with this audience, like, yeah.
You will be on air until the moment you crown.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, no, you are contracted in here to be here the whole time. Well, okay, cool, great, thank you. I also enjoyed the segment they had this year, which I'm pretty sure they had, like, anyway, but that segment, like, Cunts for Clicks, where they literally
They didn't have that first season. No, that only came in this season.
It's that they have these people come in who are just like exactly who the panelists they get on these breakfast TV
shows. They are the Mark Lathams. They are your, you know, Blair Cottrells, your right-wing crazies. And then you have one female commentator who is very Bolt-esque. Them screaming.
And that was funny. And it's like the Kates in the wrap-up, I think that they do their best, like, searing kind of comedy, but this is like this is you, we are absolutely, when we bring you on, we are absolutely duplicit in this, like, giving you this platform. And then I love it where they would go on this to be like, this is our fault because we have humanized you, and now you think that that's all right because we've given you a platform to spew your hate, so therefore we are absolutely complicit in everything that you've done. And now I'm just going to ask you a question to make you seem like a human. So how were the races on Saturday? So it is like, was just, it's so great. And of course, so the cutting finale that they had, but with Nepia Louie and Miranda Tapsell, was just, oh my goodness, for all time. There were so many things in there that I was just like gagging at. The like the makeup artist who just progressively made Miranda Tapsell wider.
Oh, that was on fire. You had during the mudroom segment, and it was like, hey, look, Miranda, decorative genocide.
I also loved, like, even in the mudroom, and then they had, like, the white woman who was crying, and it was, like, obviously the white woman tears, and just being like, I can't believe that you don't like women. We should all be here for each other. And it's just like, oh, my God, this is what, like, this is exactly that trope that, you know, they no doubt have to, like, fend off every time that they do something to be like, oh, you're not being supportive of other white women. And it's like, no, this is not about white women, like, versus like black women or anything like that. This is just this other thing. And then I like the segment that they had with Michelle Laurie, just like whitewashing. That was literally the whole thing. It was like, we're going to do laundry, but like the underneath tone was, we are whitewashing everything that is happening. And then of course, then progressively getting angrier. And it was just, it was so, so brilliant. And that's why, like, watching it, you kind of just went, they're not coming back next season. So they are saying everything that they want to say or / get out there, because it just felt like every episode was just this other just mic drop of a, oh, yeah, that's right.
But I feel like the unsung hero of Get Cracking this season was the ticker.
Oh, my God. It's so funny. Like, when I watch Get Cracking, I have to watch it twice. The first time is because I generally watch everything with subtitles. I don't know why. It's just like it happened, and now that's just how I watch things, is I always put the subtitles on because it's really interesting. The problem is when you watch the subtitles with Get Cracking is you miss the ticker. So you actually have to go, like, I watch it the first time for the audio, and then I take the subtitles off just so, like, I could just focus on the ticker, because otherwise it's like there's two streams of funny content. It's like you have to watch it twice to get the enjoyment of both things.
but there was that one about the spider and Harry Potter being non-binary.
Oh, man. The comedy writers.
Science confirms that Perth doesn't exist. Oh, I think it's Beck Shaw that did most of the ticker ones, but she's just on fire there.
It was just like you could literally just put anything up there. But then again, that, yeah, it's totally changed the way that I watch breakfast TV now, because it's just like, yep, all of those things are all happening all of the time. And I guess that the reality is sometimes is with the ticker is like, as an audience member, you might not be seeing it, or you might just be watching that in isolation to what like the audio is happening. So it's just, they've done it so well. I'm now like worried, like, because they won't be back next season, like, are we still going to get our Kates in our life?
Well, I don't know. I mean, after that Nakia and Miranda episode, everyone was asking, when are Miranda and Nakia getting their own TV show? So
I would be there for that. I would not be mad at that at all.
I mean, nothing's commissioned yet, obviously, but yeah. Hello, ideas for me.
It could happen.
I mean, like, after Miranda's monologue that just honestly made everyone cry.
Oh, my God. It was so good. And that's what I thought was so amazing too, in this idea that it's their kind of finale and giving over that not like just allowing them to just be angry but work it into the whole episode plot, so that when they finally did break, it's like, of course they're fucking angry. Like, and then just like, Miranda being like, why aren't you angry? Like, take my anger and you run with it for a while, because otherwise I will have to keep being the angry person who comes on here and tries to, like, explain that, you know, the treatment of the Indigenous Australians is just, it's not good enough. Like,
and that's Nakia all the time. Every time she's on Q&A, they're like that angry Aboriginal woman. And it's like,
oh, my goodness. Anytime that she's on the drum or on Q&A, it's like people actually lose sight of what she's talking about, because it's easier to just be like, oh, why was she getting so angry and attacking her for being angry, rather than being like, oh, actually, like, the deaths in incarceration, while incarceration for Indigenous Australians is disparagingly higher than anything else. It's like life expectancy, their health outcomes. Like, of course they're fucking angry, but it's easier to just pile on an angry person rather than actually do something to fix why they're angry. So, yeah, that final episode of Get Cracking was just absolutely amazing. And the other good thing about it is, like, even if you, like, haven't seen it but want to see it, is you can watch episodes in isolation and still be like, this is just a great 30 minutes of TV. So,
it's wonderful. If only a lot more people understood satire.
Oh, my goodness. I was like, what? Oh, yeah. It's going to be a huge hole, like, it was, not having them. Yeah. I already miss them. I'm already like, what do I do on my Wednesday? What do I do?
Rewatch The Catering Show.
Oh, my God. Do you know what's funny? I weirdly have been. Thank you. Weirdly, YouTube is, like, they're all there. And they're just so funny. Like, I forgot how funny they are. The Thermomix episode will forever be my favorite. And the moment where they're, like, cutting onions to put, like, the original, because they're making risotto. And which one? I think it's Kate McCartney. Yeah, she's cutting the onions and she's like, people normally have tips about cutting onions and, like, how not to cry. She's like, I like to just, like, delve into it. And then it's just her sobbing with the onions. And she's like, because when you think about the world and what's going on, and, like, my children are going to inherit a dust bowl, it is actually really quite depressing. And she's just there crying into these onions. And I'm just like, yes, I'm here for this every time.
Glorious.
I love that show. I want that show to come back. Let's be honest. It just, everything they do, I want it to come back. They tease me, they get me hooked in, and then they just abandon me.
Look, they stop while it's really good.
Which is, I think I'm also not mad at that. That is a gift as well. But I just one more season. Oh, dear.
But, you know, Miranda has a new film coming out soon, so.
Yeah, Top End Wedding.
An Aboriginal rom-com.
It looks beautiful. Like, it literally, I'm just like, oh, maybe I need to book a flight to the Northern Territory, because that looks amazing.
Yeah, out to the Tiwi Islands, hell yeah.
Absolutely.
That's incredible. I think I've talked out, Tali, to be honest.
Just to have this moment where I was just like, where are we? What is going on? What is time? What is happening?
Time. Concept.
Strangers. How about we do it all again next week?
Sounds great, darling. And we can live through the trauma that is Game of Thrones.
Oh, my goodness.
Share it with everyone.
Yeah. Living our best lives.
Whoop, whoop. Vitaly, thank you for another gaggle of geeks.
Thank you, Sophie Lai.
We'll see you next time for more honking and talking about pop culture and geek culture. Till then, bye.
Bye.